The title of that, Be the New, is a little bit of for the next two Sundays, this Sunday and next. A lot of folks are, this is kind of a transition time. Back to school, summer vacations are kind of winding up. Some of you may be hanging on to, one or two here yet, but for the most part, things are kind of transitioning. Even fall, I've noticed a difference in the temperatures, starting to come out of those high 90s to lower 90s. Even, I think we had a little bit of rain, which was amazing. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Yeah, that's probably the loudest amen I'll get all morning. He's like, yes, yes, rain, amen, yes, finally. And so this transition time, and it's so good during transitions that, we focus not just on one area of transition. A lot of time it's moving into the work or moving into school area or different things that way. But, there's a lot of times when we have those, along with it, we make decisions about our spiritual life, too. We make decisions about, what I want to see happen. Sometimes it's organization in our homes, but oftentimes spiritually we make decisions about what we want to see happen in our lives. And one of the things that is important is that when we make a transition, that we focus on a lot of the things that are most important, because we can get sidetracked by just little things that we make our priorities. We heighten something that really shouldn't be as important, and then we forget to focus on something that is maybe more important because of just it's, our spiritual life oftentimes in our walk with Jesus Christ is oftentimes it's easy just to kind of diminish or put to the side a little bit when everything else is kind of an upheaval and change, and so we get focused on everything else that's going on. But this is one of those great times where we're walking with the Lord and we're going through a transition to go, okay, Lord, what do you want to see happen? If I'm going back to school, what do you want to see happen over this time? If my work is changing a little bit for me, or even if just it's a new season for me and I just say, Lord, as this fall, as we kind of go into this, I really want to see this happen in my life. And so it's important that we not just set our own goals apart from the Lord, but we really look to Him. We really look to Scripture. We really look to what is it that God values, and what is it that if we want to go through a change or about to go through a change, what is it that's important to God that we focus on? One of the things we say, we talk about sometimes as a staff here, and you maybe have heard somebody say it, is it's important. One of the things we like to encourage people is not just to leave something, but to go to something. And by that, I just mean that sometimes we're in a hurry to get out of a situation without even realizing where it is that we're going to. We just are frustrated, or we're disappointed, or something didn't work out the way we want. And so we're just kind of getting in a hurry of, let's just go somewhere. So we've had people, I've met with different ones who, for whatever reason, they were upset maybe with something at the church. And I'm always, I said, I understand that. I understand that maybe you feel like now, New Horizons isn't the place that you want to be at, but please, let me encourage you, as you're making this transition, you're thinking about going to another church, please don't just leave New Horizons. Please just take time to seek the Lord. Where is it that He wants to lead you? Where is it that He has something for you? It's not always that you get a pastor talking about somebody leaving the church, so, just so you know, none of you can go, I'm not talking to any of you. These are people who have already gone, okay? None of you, yeah. But see, that's the challenge. And not just with church, but in other areas. I talk to people who want to get out of their job situation. And so they just in such a hurry just to get out of it. It's the worst situation. I want to get out of there. But what are you going to? And so when we provide counsel and we try to pray with people and give some direction, we always encourage them as much as it's possible. Now, it's not always possible. Sometimes there are situations. There's relationships or there's circumstances that you just need to get out of. It's important that you leave that toxic situation. It's death to you, and so it's important to get out of there as quick as possible. But oftentimes, there's not something like that. It's just that we're frustrated or disappointed or irritated, and we're in a hurry to get out of it, and yet we haven't taken the time to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want to lead me to? What is it that you want to, what promise, what direction, how is it that you want to grow me through this? And so we really view, as a pastor, I really view transitions and even seasonal changes from summer into fall as important times. They're important times to just kind of reflect, what is it that you're doing, Lord? Where am I at? What is it that you want to see happen in my life? And so I want to take some time this morning and then also next week as well to look at some lasting changes. What are some things that are important? What are some things that Scripture brings up? And we're going to look out of Isaiah 58 about what are some things that God focuses on when change needs to happen and priorities that God has in our lives. So let's pray and then we'll take a look at Isaiah 58. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is life-giving and that, Father, it just in us, Lord, that the word can grow. And so we want to be the type of people, Lord, I want to be an individual in whom your word can plant and grow. And there can be not just one seedling out of it, but just out of this time this morning, that there would just be a harvest of righteousness that could come from hearing your word and then responding to it. And so we ask you, Lord, for grace to listen and to receive and then to respond to what your word has to say. And so we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 58, 1 through 5. Isaiah 58, just kind of as a side note, is kind of an important scripture for me personally. I think it's one that speaks to part of what God wants to do in the church today. And early on in my ministry, this is a passage, this chapter in Isaiah 58 is one that the Lord kind of spoke over both my wife, Jerry, and I. A lot of times when I say my wife, Jerry, and I, you know, she's up with children's ministry, and that's blank. She's here today, so she's always here, but she's not up in the classroom. You know, this mythological person, my wife, is here. And it's this Isaiah 58 is a word that the Lord spoke over us, and I think it's more than just over us. I think it's in part what's happened in the church over time, and it's a calling for us to refocus and get our eyes on the things that matter most to God. So Isaiah 58, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 this morning. We'll pick back up next week with the remainder of it. But here's the issue, is that God is addressing his people, and he's saying he's addressing issues or things that he doesn't like about their spirituality. He's highlighting some things that need to be changed about their spirituality. And then we'll go into a little bit more next week about what will happen. He says, this is the type of spirituality, this is the type of relationship that I'm really looking for. So Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 5, the Lord says, shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, you say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all of your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? And so this passage right here, this portion of it, this is the Lord asking the question. He's saying, this is the type of spirituality you're presenting, is you act or you present yourself, you're calling out to me, that you want to hear me, that you want my decisions, all of these things. And yet, he raises some issues with it. He says, yet I have a couple questions. So within this passage, let me highlight two complaints that are raised. One is from the people. So the first complaint is the people complaining, and God is basically reciting their complaint. He's saying, this is the problem you have with me, God says. Why are we doing these things if you're not going to listen? Why are we going to be spiritual? Why is it that we're going through fasting and sitting in sackcloth and ashes if you're not going to listen? What good is it to be spiritual and mindful of you, Lord, if you're not going to be mindful of us? That's their complaint. They're saying, listen, we're doing these things. We're behaving spiritually. We're doing spiritual acts, and yet you just seem really disinterested. And so God is basically telling him back what their complaint is. He's saying, this is what you're asking me. Why do we do these things? The second complaint comes from God. And God's reply back is, what good is your spirituality if it doesn't address the matters, the issues that matter most to me? What good is your sackcloth, your ashes, your questioning, your seeking me, if you don't really address things that matter most to my heart, is God's question. If you're only spiritual on the outside, all the externals, but you're heartless and cold on the inside, why would I validate that type of spirituality? And so that's God's complaint back to the people. So theirs is, God, why are we being spiritual? Why should we seek you or follow you if you're not going to reply? And God says, why would I reply if your spirituality is just kind of this dressing on the outside, but it really isn't anything that's coming out of your heart? And so at the heart of God's complaint comes out of verse 3. This is the first part of what God is addressing with them. The first is verse 3 says, yet on the day of your fasting, so they're doing their spiritual act, their fasting, says, yet on this day you do as you please and you exploit all of your workers. So verse 3, they exploit their workers. Listen, the Lord is always concerned about how you use the authority that he has given you. It matters to him how people use authority. That is a really big deal to the Lord. Because if somebody has authority, that means they have influence. And I should interject here, all of you have authority of some kind. It's not just the man or that person or the corporation or the business or whoever you think it is, the pastor, who has authority, and only those people have authority. Everybody has authority. Because authority is influence. So if you have influence in anybody's life, you have a measure of authority. So if you're a parent, you have influence, you have authority. If you're a student, you have influence in your peers, you have authority because you have that influence or that relationship. If you're an employer or even another employee, everybody I know has some type of influence with somebody. So everybody has this level of authority at some point with other people. And God is always concerned about how we treat people with whom we have authority. It matters to him. One of the reasons it matters to him, first, is that it reveals your heart about people. What you do when you are given authority and how you use that with people, it really reveals a lot about what's in your heart. And we all have seen or maybe even personally experienced the expression of authority from the totalitarian boss, right? You know what? You bring up the issue and you think, well, I know we've been doing it this way, but I think we should do... Think! Who asked you to think? Your job is to produce. Get back to your job, right? That mindset that somehow they're overbearing and they just don't give any room for anybody to give any input at all. So there's that stereotype, but there's also people who are somewhat subversive with their authority. You can use your influence to undermine or undercut people with your words and cutting people down. So it matters to God because it indicates what's in your heart. How are you using the influence or the authority that he's given you in the people around you? And so it really matters to the Lord. If you use authority to better yourself, or do you use it as a blessing to bless others? When you're given influence with somebody, do you use that influence to always look for the edge, how it can prosper you, how it can better your situation, how it can set you up in a better place? Or do you think, how can I use this to maybe help other people? How can I use this with this person who's given me influence into their life? How can I use that influence then to encourage them and to lift them up? Or do you only look at it and say, how can I take advantage of this to move myself forward? Your authority is your influence, and everyone has it, and it matters to God because how you use that influence then reveals what's in your heart and how you see people and how you want to interact with them. If your first thought is, how can I use this moment to kind of give myself an opportunity to broaden that influence for my purposes or to encourage others? It's a good question to think about, you know, of how do I use the authority that I have? And in fact, one of the highlights for this morning, one of the main things I want us to get in our mind is what you do with your authority shows what you really think about others. Not just what's in your heart, but how you use the authority really reveals what you think about other people too, and why God has placed them in your life. That's a pretty deep question. How am I using the influence? What do I think about the people around me, and how am I using the influence that God has given me? And it indicates what I think their value is. Do you use your influence to lift others up, or do you use it to lift yourself up? Do you use it to gain more influence, to be a blessing, or do you use your influence as to influence others to bless yourself? Or even just your family. If your circle keeps reducing, it keeps getting smaller, if all you want to do is bless yourself, and all you want to do is puff up yourself and to make yourself bigger, the challenge with that is that God says he's going to oppose you. Isn't that interesting that when you look in the Bible, you look through the scriptures, there's not a lot of things that talks about God working against or God opposing, but it does say God opposes the proud. God is actively working against proud people. So I come up Sunday after Sunday and I encourage you. I just say, God is for you. God loves you, and God wants to bless you. He wants to work in your life. And I am right on that 99.9% of the time, except for the proud person. For the person who is puffed up and all they want to do is make themselves better, and they're arrogant and they won't ever confess that they ever do anything wrong, and they're always right, and they're always using influence to lift themselves up and put other people down. The challenge is that God isn't for arrogant or prideful people at all. As soon as pride shows itself, God is working against that. When we're proud with one another, arrogant against one another, God is working against that pride to break away at it, looking for a way to humble that individual, to humble me whenever I set myself up and I view myself too high, too big in my own eyes. He's bringing me down to a point where I can relate and I can see people right in the right way. So if your circle of blessing is small and all you're doing is building yourself up and you're trying to make yourself bigger, I'm sorry, but you got to know that God is working against that. He is actively working against you puffing or bringing yourself up. And that's contrary to what the world teaches. That's contrary to the culture that says, take every advantage and work your way up the ladder to where you can get to the best spot. You get to make the decisions. You get to tell other people what to do. And you get to be the head honcho. I don't know how to describe it any other way. Head honcho is all that comes to mind. See, but Jesus addressed that in the disciples because they were saying, Lord, when you're gone, who gets to be the numero uno in charge? Or who's going to be the one to sit at your left and right? So, Lord, I guess you're number one, but who's at your left and your right? Who's the next in command? And he says, listen, listen, you've got it wrong. The kingdom of God doesn't work that way. That's how it works in the world. That's how the Gentiles, Jesus said, that's how they do it. That's how the authority structures in the world works. Among you, who's going to be the greatest? Least. Yeah, least. The servant of all, the smallest. The one who sits not at the head of the table, but sits down at the foot of the table. He's the one who's going to be offered to come up and sit in the esteemed place. And so that's the difference, is that in the culture, they say, work your way up to the top so you get to be the boss and tell everybody else what to do. Use your authority for you. And the world says, that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. He says, that's not the way it works, is that you're going to serve others. You're going to use influence to lift others up, to be a blessing, to encourage others. And the more you do that, you may not see your level of influence in certain circles work out because they operate a different way. But what you'll see is your influence in the kingdom of God begin to grow. And your influence, your relational influence with the people around you will begin to grow. And your ability to speak into people's lives will begin to grow. Not because positionally or the way in which the world would lift you up, but because the way in which God gives you ability to speak into people's lives and encourage them and bring the kingdom of God into their life will continue just to grow and flourish, because God will bless that, but he will oppose the proud. In his kingdom, it doesn't work the same as the world around us. The second thing that the Lord brought up with them, and the reason that he didn't buy their spirituality, And he's like, you know, you're doing all these really wonderful, amazing spiritual, you know, you're fasting, you're in sackcloth and ashes, you're calling out to me. He says, but I'm not buying it. I'm not believing that you're really deeply spiritual. And here's the other reason. Verse 4, you have relational strife with one another. He says, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. I'm not sure what a non-wicked fist would look like. It seems like fists would just be wicked, but maybe not. Wicked fists. He says, listen, there's this aggression that you cry, that you lash out with. Your spirituality has to have a genuine effect, and that is to demonstrate the outcome that you've been transformed, as we sang this morning, from the inside out. If your relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't somehow demonstrate that you've been changed on the inside and then reflect it outwardly, you know, you're missing something. We would be missing something. And the Lord says, listen, I don't believe it because I'm not seeing it. You're spiritual one moment, then you turn around and you're lashing out, striking each other with blows. It's quarreling and strife. It should end, if you're truly spending time with the Lord, it should end in a greater devotion of love and commitment to one another. There should be the fruit of the Spirit, should be an outgrowth of your life. There should be clarity of thought and wisdom, not striving and confusion. Your devotion to the Lord should result in something more than just more of the same of what you see out in the culture around you of lashing out at one another. Early on in my walk with Christ, I was with some family. So I grew up with my mom and stepdad, but I would go and visit my dad and stepmom, usually in the summertime. And that was one of those times where I was deeply influenced by their faith, my dad and stepmom's faith in Christ. And so we were out one time, and they said, you know, we should do... We were actually, when I say out, we were on vacation, and they said, you know, we should take one of these days and do a fast. We should do a fast while we're out. We were up in Idaho, and said, okay, you know, I was like, I'm on board for it. Let's do that. So we go on the fast. Mind you, it's summertime, probably very similar, you know, environment to here in the Grand Valley, low to mid 90s, dry, and in the midst of this fast, of this day, just one day fast, they said, you know, apart from this fast, you know, just to kind of get out, because we were in a travel trailer, just so we're not cooped up, just thinking about food all day, and, you know, let's get out and do something. So let's go golfing. I'm not really a golfer. I like, you know, swinging the club, but especially at that time, I was still just kind of learning. Mid-90s, in the heat, swinging clubs, in the heat, stomachs growling, frustrations are mounting. In my spiritual act, I take a swing, shank it off to the side. My club just buries into my bag, you know. Oh, can't believe I hit that. Next one, same thing, and then I hit my club down on the ground. And my dad and stepmom were very perceptive. They said, I think we're missing the point. If all that's being produced out of this is your aggression against your golf bag and pounding the club and your frustration, wouldn't it just be better if we just grabbed a sandwich and just called it a day, came off of there and did it? And so we did that. My spiritual activity around this fast was not anywhere near producing what is supposed to be produced with a spiritual expression of fasting or prayer. I wasn't bearing fruit. It wasn't showing love. It was the exact opposite. Fortunately, it wasn't hitting my brother with a club. That was another time. So that's just kind of what it looked like in a bad frame. And another time, I went with three of my friends. I was in high school, and I think it was right around my senior year of high school. Three of my friends, we packed. We went about a mile in, and it lived in Central Oregon, so we packed in near a lake, just set up a nice tent area, and decided we were going to fast for 2 days, and then on the third day we'd break the fast with communion. During that time, we're just going to encourage one another, take nature walks, and just enjoy the place we're at. You know, it's one of the most beautiful times that I ever had. You know, just I wasn't focused on food. I wasn't focused on, you know, getting frustrated, been out of shape. We weren't fighting and angry at each other. We were just really enjoying the presence and peace of the Lord, encouraging one another, and just out in the beauty of it. One of the most delightful times I've ever had, and then we broke the fast with communion with one another. Far different, completely different pictures, right? And so this is, you get a glimpse of what God is seeing with his people when he's looking at Isaiah 58, and he's saying, listen, your fasting ends with quarreling and strife, with striking fists. Like, what are you producing out of your life by your spirituality? And that is a fantastic question for every one of us. In your attending church, in your reading scripture, in your spending time with the Lord, what is coming out of that for every one of us? Is that producing in you the fruit of the Spirit and more love? Or is it simply a step that you're going through and just hoping that God blesses you somewhere in the midst of it because you're doing those things? That's a real challenge for each one of us to say, Lord, when I come to you, I want to come and really know you more deeply. I really want to come and I want to be changed, not just externally, but I want my heart to be changed. I want you to be conforming me more to the image of Jesus Christ. So those were the things. Is the nation of Israel was asking God to bless them. They're walking through their spirituality. They're walking it out. The Lord highlighted these issues to them. He says, listen, you act, and he keeps giving that word. He says it a couple times in that passage. You act as though you want to hear from you. Act as though you want to draw near to me. However, this is how I know what's in your heart isn't really genuine, is that because it's not producing the stuff out of your life that if you really wanted to know me, if you really spent time with me, it's not producing what those things would actually produce, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Did I miss one? I think I got them. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit. So why does this matter? Why am I bringing up Isaiah 58 in relationship to transitions? Because what can happen is the way that we go into something can be affected by the way that we're leaving something. Remember I said we try not to just leave something, but we actually go to something. Oftentimes people will say, well, I just want to get past that season of my life. This summer, whatever it was, you know, just a difficult thing. I just want to leave it all behind. The problem is that we often carry with us whatever it is that we're leaving behind because the only thing that's changed is the address. We're still the same and everything is coming with us. And so in addressing and looking at Isaiah 58, what we're saying is, I don't want to just change my spiritual habits. Lord, I want to change my posture and my expression towards you. I want to be in a place where I'm listening to you, and I want you to change me from the inside out. Lord, what matters to you, one, is my influence. How are you using your influence today? The people in your life, how are you affecting their lives? Is it to be a blessing, or is it for you to get a step up all the time? As it relates to, if you're married, as it relates to a spouse, is it always you need to win that argument and that's what is always happening? Or are you actually trying to communicate and understand and hear one another and come to a resolution where you both feel understood and that you can move forward from there? Boy, how many times do couples get into it and it's like always trying to speak over each other and trying to win that argument, and who ends up winning is nobody, because we've trampled on one another trying to get to the victory. So the question, how are you using your influence? How, if you're a parent, are you basically the boss of your kids, or are you actually leading them and guiding them? Are you directing them in the way that they should go? Or are you constantly just barking out orders? Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have rules or guidelines around your home. You certainly need to do that. You certainly need to have a way that you respect one another in your home. But it's also important that you help them to understand your heart and you hear where their heart is at, and that you're guiding them to have the values that you have as parents, and not just simply bossing them to do what you want them to do to get the outcome, at least the outward response that you want them to have. Because in their heart, what you oftentimes create as a parent is a shell on the outside of obedience, but an internal rebellion of a heart that says, I don't care what you say or what you want me to do, I don't like it. So I'll do it, but in the inside, I'm not doing it. Right? How many times have we seen that or experienced that and the frustration? So as parents, how are you using your influence to guide and direct your children as they're growing up, to bring them along, to encourage them in the values that you see in Scripture and in your family, versus just asking them or telling them to do what they need to do? Many different ways that you can use your influence, but the encouragement is not to lord it over people, but to direct them and to lead them into the way that the Lord would have you go. And then lastly, this idea of what's happening in your relationships with other people in your walk with Christ. So if we're thinking about a transition, what does this transition look like? Are you leaving behind relationship? Are you burning bridges with people so that you can make this next leap? Or are you willing to work at reconciliation so that when you transition, you're not just trying to get away from something, but you're actually trying to move into something and have healing and wholeness follow on your on the backside as you're moving into whatever it is that God wants for you? That matters to God. How we finish something, how we're leaving something, it matters, because it's often something that we'll experience in the next area of our life and when we're moving into it. And so I want us to take this time as we prepare to do a response time. What I'd like us to do is to ask these questions. Lord, who in my life, who have you given me influence with? In fact, would you take just a moment and bow your head? I want you to really just think about these questions as I ask them. Who have you given me influence over, Lord? Who have you given me the ability to speak into their life? Lord, how am I stewarding, how am I shepherding that influence, that leadership that I have, that authority that you've given me? How am I speaking to the people that I have influence with? Am I blessing them? Or am I just looking for a way to build myself up? In my relationships, Lord, am I gaining influence, or is my circle of influence shrinking because people aren't finding that I'm blessing them, but I'm just using my relationships for my own gain? Or is my circle growing? Am I getting more influence? Do people open up to me and allow me to speak into their life? And then is my responses to you, Lord, in prayer? Are my responses, Lord, as I spend time in worship and fellowship at church, spend time in a small group? What are some of the outcomes of that, Lord? Am I seeing more love produced in my life? Am I more grace-filled for people? Is patience growing in me? What's being produced out of my time with you, Lord? Now, would you join me in standing as you've thought about some of those questions? And now, just in response, just take this time as we go to a time of worship. We also have communion up front on each side, and we also have our prayer team in the back who would really be happy, would love to pray with you. As you've thought about those questions, if you're seeing that you're influencing people and you think, you know, it really has shrunk my relationship circle, my influence has really gotten smaller, and I've seen ways that I've tried to use circumstances always to my benefit. I've seen how I've tried to get ahead for so many different ways, even sacrificing family at times or sacrificing relationships so I could move myself forward. And today you just are thinking, Lord, that's not where I want to be. I want to make decisions that bless others, that encourage others around me. And so today's a great day just to take that step and say, Lord, take whatever influence you would pour into my life. Lord, I want to use it to glorify Jesus Christ. I want to do it to be a blessing to others. Maybe as you look and kind of reflect over your walk with Christ and you think, you know, I've attended church services a lot. I have a devotional book that I go through maybe. I say a prayer here and there, but it just really hasn't seemed to change. I'm still pretty much the same person I was 10 or 15 years ago, and it's just not really having an impact on me. Today's a great day just to say, Lord, I want the work of the Holy Spirit to go deeper in me, to go beyond just the actions of spirituality, of attendance and devotional times, but to real transformation of my heart. I want it to change how I love and how I relate to people. I want my relationships to grow stronger, and that my time with you shouldn't end with wicked fists or calling names, but it should grow me into having more compassion and to seeing people differently than I have. These are important times. If you're looking at or you're dealing with a transition, or even if you're in a situation where you're thinking, Lord, I don't want to go into this fall, this new season, just as everything else has been. It's time for a change in my life. Just as the season is changing outside, Lord, I want change to happen in my life going forward. And He's going to reveal some things, and that's the thing. We trust the Holy Spirit in each one of you. He is so good at just revealing what it is that needs to happen in your life, every person's life, in order to be able to move forward into what He has for you. And so we trust the Holy Spirit during this response time. He's just going to say, you know what, you need to go back to that relationship because that's left unsettled. That ended with name-calling and fists. It didn't end well. And I want you, as much as it's up to you, I want you to try to reconcile that. For others of you, you gave up on your devotional time because it didn't really seem to make a difference, and He's calling you back to that. He's saying, I want to transform you, but I can't transform you if you're just trying to change your behavior without me and just be a good Christian without involving me in the Word and in the Spirit. And so He's calling you back to your devotion time and sitting with Him and spending meaningful time with the Lord in Scripture and in prayer and maybe even a small group so that you can experience that transformation in your life as you move into this new season. Amen. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity to respond to You. Receive our praise. Jesus, above all else, be glorified. You can do what no man, no person, no organization, you can do what no others can. And that is to meet us in the inside, in the deepest, most place of our heart and our lives. And You can transform us then from the inside out. And so, Lord, we invite You. We don't close off ourselves. We don't close our heart and our mind. But, Lord, instead we open up to You. We begin to just allow You to speak, Holy Spirit, as You come. Just begin to speak to each individual, each one of us, what we need to be able to transition out of something, but also to go into something, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity, and we worship You now in Jesus' name.